Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, I'm going to talk to you about something that I think we'll all be able to relate to, and it's about times where we find ourselves, my visual is, in a cave. And sometimes you get in a cave. And it may not be a physical cave, but it's a spiritual cave. It's a situational cave where oftentimes in church, you know, life rarely is all good and all bad, right? Sometimes you got eight things that are cooking and two things that are struggling. And those tend to be our cave things. And I want to use David, King David, as my example today. Because, you know, David went through this. And think about it. People really find God more in the valley than they do on the mountaintop. Can somebody say amen to that in your life? And why would a merciful God write through James, you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds? Those are odd words, and those are words I'm still learning to embrace. But the fact is, spiritual maturity is more valuable to me than a blessing. Because spiritual maturity changes how I react to everything around me. Spiritual maturity makes half my problems just disappear because I react differently to what I'm going through. And oftentimes, the growth, the path of that maturity takes us into what I call cave seasons, where your circumstance becomes dark and difficult. And many of you are there right now. Because remember, I'm a local church pastor. And so we have hundreds of people in Rocky Mount listen to Pastor Coughlin preach with Christina, or Pastor Tyson preach with Christina this morning. And I know those guys, it's not that we fake it, but the fact is, we come to church to get empowered to go out and be the church. And so oftentimes we have things going on and we just don't want to expose those things to just anybody. So it could be financial debt. Some of you may be, the student loans are killing you, or you made some bad decisions. You lost your job for a season. It could be a relationship issue. A church this size, no doubt there are many marriages that are hanging by a thread or just in a very difficult season. It could be a prodigal child. It could be a chronic physical illness that you tend to hide because you don't want it to show weakness. It could be just you're battling depression. You're battling anxiety, or you're in a season of isolation. So as a pastor, I've never seen anybody disappear from church and it be a good thing. They're not off having their personal revival. The devil is sifting them. And so that cave that we crawl into in those seasons, it will make us feel safe but a little while, but we'll eventually feel trapped. And God sent me here to tell you that he is there in your cave. He wants to turn that cave season and use it to become your refuge. And in the life of David, there was a season where he not only was physically in a cave, the cave of Adullam, he went to that physical cave because of circumstantial difficulties. But it was in that season, guys, where David, God became more than just David's leader. He became more than just his savior. He became literally his refuge. That's where he learned to turn to God. Let me define that word for you. Refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. So in this season, David's life is described in the first 22 chapters of the book of Samuel. David finds himself in a wilderness, and let me remind you again, he did not choose to go there. The fact is, he had nowhere else to go. In 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, it says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who are in distress, listen to this, in debt, discontented, gathered around him, and he becomes their commander. About 400 men were with him. So as you know, that becomes David's mighty men in battle that we read about in the scriptures. Now, how did he get in that cave. Well, all those first 22 chapters, we see this scenario unfolding where Saul is wanting to kill David for no other reason than just pure jealousy. Saul was never ready to be king, right? The Israelites begged for a king. God didn't want them to ever have a king. God wanted to be their king, but they wanted to be like all the nations around them. So eventually you ask God for something long enough, he might give it to you. Can I get an amen here? Whether it's good for you or not, just to get you to stop asking for it. And so he eventually relents to the people, and Saul was not a bad person in the sense. He was very impressive like King David, but the fact is he just was not ready. And I'll tell you, nothing's more destructive than someone in authority whose gifts, whose maturity is not caught up to their gifts, right? You ever work for somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. You ever been in a church like that? Sometimes, that's why the Bible says don't lay hands on people too quickly. Because sometimes you give someone authority, the gifting is there. I think that's why at the end, Paul just gave up and said, just entrust the gospel to reliable men. I'm not worried about how gifted you are, how impressive you are. Just give me some people I can count on and we can change the world. So there's nothing more destructive than that. So God knew that Saul needed to step down from this place he was in. So after David kills Goliath, he forges this place in the inner circle of King Saul. And things begin, he becomes close with Saul's son, Jonathan. David is not doing anything to undermine him as king in any way. He's serving King Saul. He's winning him victories in battle, doing great things. But one day, a joyful song celebration, probably was at the 11 o'clock service, can I get an amen? Began to break out among the people, the lyres, the harps, all this thing. And they all, David and Saul, are walking through, and they begin to sing this song. They said, Saul slayed his thousands. Not bad. But then they say, David slain his tens of thousands. Saul slain his thousands. Saul's the king. David's the little guy right now. David slain his tens of thousands. Well, it set off a jealous spirit in Saul. And jealousy is a powerful spirit because it is connected to another powerful spirit called pride. And when they come together, they can attack viciously. It's interesting that Samuel 18, 10 and 12 says an evil spirit from God, everybody say from God, came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house. It said David was in attendance playing his harp as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand. He hurled it to pin David to the wall, but twice David escaped him. Saul began to fear David because the Lord was with him, but had left Saul. So that leads to Saul trying to kill David. And I think it's interesting that sometimes, guys, every attack of the devil is not from the devil. Sometimes God is being creative to bring something to fruition in your life. He may allow the attack. Remember when Satan came before God about Job? Remember when it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart? I mean, sometimes God will do things to accomplish his purpose that's a little bit out of the norm. And that's why we have to be people of action, not reaction. We have to act according to the word of God, not react to everything happening around us. So this jealousy of Saul towards David starts this journey for King Saul. So he goes up and down. You go by, read this tonight, this 22 chapters. He gets over it. He begins to love on David, but then that jealous spirit comes back. David does something to take attention from him. David marries Saul's daughter, and he sends him out to battle. And so that jealous spirit, it'll attack churches. And I encourage you, it'll attack this house. I've been there, but don't lose sight of your mission. Just keep going. Keep loving people and not give in to that. It's what makes coworkers stab good people in the back, right? It's what sometimes we even make church members, not this church, the church down the street, right? Brothers and sisters will begin to fight and be sibling rivals. This is what makes preachers suppress the gifts of members sometimes because they feel threatened. Well, the bottom line is described again in Samuel 18:12. Saul was afraid of David. because the Lord was with David, but he had departed from Saul. And that was a bitter pill for a king to swallow. Now, David's best friend is Saul's son, Jonathan. Again, he talks to Saul. He tells him, listen, man, you're reading this guy wrong. Think about Jonathan. He was the ultimate armor bearer, right? No nepotism in Saul's family. I mean, he was the rightful biological owner to the throne, but he didn't even want the throne because he recognized the Spirit of God on David. So he became David's armor bearer, stepping back, telling his father, listen, man, I'm telling you, this guy is a blessing. He doesn't have that. So it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. An evil spirit from God comes on Saul again, tries to kill him. He tries to kill him with a spear. He sends people to David's house to kill him. Remember that story? And his wife, who is Saul's daughter, lowers David out the back. They hide an idol with goat hair on it in his bed. I mean, just one thing after another. Keeps trying to kill him over and over. And one of the reasons we end up in the cave, even when we're winning battles, is because it can take a toll on us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, I've learned as a pastor, even when I'm winning battles, it can wear me down. The fight can wear me down. I tell you what I've learned when I'm most physically tired is when I'm the most spiritually vulnerable. Because you can get physically worn down. And think about Elijah, right? When Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, the greatest spirit, I mean, this guy prophesied into a drought, prophesied the nation out of a drought. He faces down the prophets of Baal. Then one crazy woman named Jezebel says, tell him I'm coming to kill him. And he totally panics. Like, what is wrong with him? You know, his faith should be high, but Elijah was just tired. He was worn down. He goes, sits under a broom tree and waiting to die. He says, God, I can't do this anymore. And so I'm talking to some people. You're winning some battles, but you're getting worn down. And so we start looking, right, for these magical solutions to our cave issue. We've forgotten that everybody needs a Savior. We've forgotten that everybody needs people to help them. And I'll tell you another thing. God understands your humanity this morning. I want to tell you something, man. When you're struggling, still come to God. Still come to Him because He understands you're not perfect. I quoted a lady in our church who's in heaven now named Deborah McNeil. She used to always say, Pastor, God will give you time to get yourself together. I love that quote. Because if you just come to God, He never rejects us, does He? Can I get an amen? Amen. So even in that cave, if you let God in your cave and the people of God in your cave, it often becomes what God will turn into your refuge. Because when God is all, God will become what you need when He's all you have, right? Eventually, David flees to the hometown of Goliath. They recognize him. He has to pretend he's a madman, foaming at the mouth. It just goes on and on, one issue after another. Then finally, David ends up in the cave of Adullam. His military career is over. He's isolated from his family. He's banned from the palace that he knows prophetically is part of his future. Now think about this. Again, it's not his fault. And some people need to hear that this morning. You've ended up in a cave. The devil's been trying to condemn you, but let me tell you something. It's not your fault. The truth is, God is still working. God is still doing things. Maybe it's a jealous spirit. Maybe He's protecting you from something. He is sending people right now to help you in your cave season. But we've got to open up this morning. That's where this is leading. I'm going to challenge people at the altar last service. Many people said, man, I'm coming out. I'm not going to battle this in secret anymore. And it's not necessarily sin. We always think sin. It could be a battle that you're standing in the gap for people in your family. Some people are the patriarch of their family. They're fighting all these things on their behalf. How many of you know you don't draw who you want in seasons of life? You draw who you are. And so notice who comes to David, not only his family, but those in the deep, strange place he's in. So he gets in this place, okay, and he's at his lowest point. All these things have happened to him. And we know David was a journaler, right? psalm after psalm, he would write, and that was his therapy. So David sits down to write a psalm, and he writes Psalm 57. And so deep inside that cave, with everything circumstantially coming against him, he writes this. He says, "Have mercy on me, my God, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past." That is his cave becoming his refuge, right? Now let me read that again. "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I will cry out to the Most High God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions," David says. I'm forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. But then he starts to worship. He said, "Be exalted, O God," right there in the cave above the heavens. "Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves." And David says, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people. For great is your love reaching to the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Somebody shout amen to that.
Amen.
I want to give you guys four things that will turn your cave into your victory. The first one is this that we learned from David. You have to speak to your future. Notice David cried out to God and spoke to his future. And I'm not trying to get hyper spiritual, but there is life and death in your tongue. And when you're in a cave, sometimes you got to dig down past your emotions, what you're feeling in that moment, and speak out of your spirit what you know to be the truth. And sometimes it sounds mechanical at first. It sounds almost fake, like, "Man, I'm not even feeling this, but I'm speaking it." But that's how faith works. You see, there's a difference between trust and faith. Trust means, for me, this is how I see it. Trust is when I don't really know what God's up to yet. Because I'm in a cave, things are going on like David. David didn't know what was happening. He's like, "What the heck? When I was a kid, they called me in from the field. The prophet Samuel anointed me to be the next king. And then all hell breaks loose in my life. This goes wrong. This goes wrong. I'm trying to serve the king and come into the throne in my time, whenever that is, the right way. And he's trying to kill me." And so sometimes you just got to speak to your future and say, "God, I know it's going to turn. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be the next day, but it's coming. The turn is coming." And the reason, guys, we have to empty ourselves out in those cave seasons. God wants to fill you, but God can't fill something that's already full. Be careful just filling ourselves with all this information. Just look at your neighbor and say, "You're full of it, man." Just tell them that. And so sometimes God has to empty us out. And I believe that's what God was doing with David in Psalm 57. He was emptying out his hurt. Second thing you got to do, and I love this one, is you got to worship like you've already been delivered in your cave. Come on, church. You got to worship like you've already been delivered. While you're in the cave, don't forget to worship. Because if you forget to worship, you'll get depressed. You'll get downcast in your cave. You'll start feeling trapped. But if you'll just start worshiping in your cave, then your cave becomes your refuge. When you start worshiping God, he will invade your cave. He will anoint you like you've never been anointed before. Let me remind you of another thing. When you're in your cave, you have to speak to your future. You have to worship like it's already happened. And then you have to let people help you. You got to let people help you. You know, I've been pastoring the same church for over 25 years. And that's a blessing. Because you get to kind of grow up together. I get to see kids that my three kids grew up with. And so we started our church. I was in my late 20s. And Still had so much to learn. We started our church before we had all the newfangled assessments that Pastor Tyson and I take these young apostles through. Back then, you just went to your pastor and say, hey, man, I want to plant a church. Am I apostolic or not? And you let him tell you. He said, I believe you and Lisa are apostolic. I said, we want to plant a church in Eastern North Carolina. We were at a dynamic church in Raleigh. That's where we lived. And so long story short, we ended up going back to my hometown and never thought I'd live there again. Always want to live in a large city. And Rocky Mount is not a small city, but it's a mid-sized city. So we go there, and first year we grow to 60 people. Thank God. Learning so much, it begins to take off, you know, begins to grow. We buy property, all these things. And we break that 500 barrier, there goes 600, 700, 800. The church is growing. Everything's happening so fast. And a lot of stress, a lot of stress. And then my two-year-old son gets diagnosed with leukemia right in the middle of that. And so we're fighting that battle. We're fasting. We're praying. And so one Sunday, I get done with the service, and I said it this way. One of the parents who were hiring a new student pastor, who was one of the leaders, I thought we had the right person. So they come to me after this and say, look, man, pastor, I hope you hadn't hired that guy yet because I don't think he's the right guy because of this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, man. We'd already hired him, by the way. So you know where it says they had a nervous breakdown when the cat peed on the floor? It wasn't the cat peed on the floor. It was everything that led up to the cat peeing on the floor and then everything. It was one of those moments. I went in my office and I couldn't move. I sat there and I'd always get emotional because it was just a big moment in my life. And I sat there for a couple of hours. I just hit the wall, man. And I think back now, that could have been the end. And I know pastors where that was the end. But the one thing I had done right up until that moment was this. I had let people help me. So I wasn't alone. My wife was there. I had brothers I could call and would sit right there and pray and say, what do we need to do to get Pastor healthy? And if you don't get anything else today, you got to get this. Let people help you. Stop trying to get out of your cave by yourself. And I tell I can't start crying because when I'm like, once I start, I can't stop. Is anybody like that? So I got to, okay, I'm good. I finished the sermon. But the emotions are real because it was just a big moment in my life. So now I wasn't doing everything right because I was sitting in my office and I couldn't talk, right? But I knew I was going to be okay because I had already been letting people help me. See, that's not the moment you want to realize you're by yourself because then you're in trouble. And then I had guys who would run through a wall for me. I had a wife who was so wise and right there with me. She was going through all the stress with me, you know, with our son, just all that. And I think if we know that we're struggling, Here's the thing, guys. When you're afraid to let people know that you're struggling, we assume they'll think we have sin in our life. Or they're going to think I'm immature. They're going to think pastor's weak. He can't handle the pressure, you know. They're going to think I'm a complainer because I've heard all these things over the years. Or maybe we're just battling pride. We just don't want people to know what we're going through. Or maybe the devil's convinced you that you're not valuable to the people around you. David was a man who knew he was called to be king. And he had lost everything. He had been kicked out of the palace. His military career was over. He was separated from his family. But God sent people around him that could help him. And he let them in there with him. I'm convinced that if David had stayed in that cave by himself, he would have never come out and never fulfilled his purpose. But he let people in there with him. Somebody say amen. We need to hear that this morning. I got one more for you. Never let bitterness and rebellion enter your heart against people or against God. And I'm prophesying to this room, God is about to turn your cave into your refuge. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, do not let bitterness get in your heart. There's a reason Jesus said, if you do not forgive other people, I will not forgive you. And it wasn't because he was trying to be hard. He knows what bitterness and unforgiveness will do to my heart. It will change the way I love my wife. It will change the way I raise my children. It will change the way I preach. It will change the way I treat hurting people, because unforgiveness poisons my heart. And if we get bitter towards God about what we're going through today, we're going to be in trouble. David never let that happen. He had opportunity after opportunity. Think about what Saul had done to him. And even in that moment, in that cave, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back so we can have a moment to respond. Think about it. You remember the story? Saul rides up with 3,000 men. They're hunting David down, wanting to kill him. He stops right in front of the cave, and David's mighty men says, "Hey, man, this is your chance. You can take him out, David. It's shameful what he's done to you. You've done nothing but love him. Now he's trying to kill you. Go out there, man. Take the throne. Take the throne." But that wasn't the way David wanted to come to the throne. He knew it was wrong, so he goes out. Remember, he cuts a little corner off his robe, and God even convicts him of that. And he goes and tells his guys, no, this is not the way to do it. I'm not going to become bitter. When I become king, I'm not going to come over the fence. I'm going to come through the front gate, and it's going to be God's will, and I'm going to honor the previous king, and I'm going to do it the right way. And I want to encourage you today, man, to get a hold of these things that we're talking about. When we stand in worship, God is going to, first of all, start speaking to your future in that area. May not be your whole life, but if you've got an area. Second, worship like you've already been delivered. Let me give you a tip. Anybody ever use the Lord's Prayer? I use it every morning. And it says, "Hallowed be your name." That's the first thing out of my lips when I wake up and I begin to worship God, and my problems get smaller, my God gets bigger. As I proclaim, like I worship like it's already happened. Like I've already had a great day, right? God, thank you. Hallowed be your name. I worship you, God. And then here comes the power on that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may your kingdom come to my life today. I die to myself. I want your will to be done today. And God, that means I'm in a cave right now, but I'm coming out. I'm coming out. This has become my refuge, and I'm going to speak to my future. I'm going to worship like it's already happened. I'm going to start letting some people help me. Let people help you. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. God is the first thing you need, but God is not the only thing you need. You need that person beside you. It starts with God, and I've had to learn that, but it doesn't end with God. No matter who you are, let people help you and get rid of that bitterness. Can we amen to that this morning? Can you just applaud God for his word right now? As we get ready to respond, thank you for listening. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. We're going to give two invitations before we conclude with a few moments of worship. So just be still for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, that you see us. Right now, I just want to give the opportunity, service, we've had people give their heart to Jesus Christ. Pastor Tyson texts as people are giving their heart to Jesus Christ in Rocky Mount this morning as he's preaching. Because everybody needs a Savior. Everybody. And so if you're here today and you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to pause in this holy moment and give you that chance. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Well, you don't go to heaven by living a good enough life. You go to heaven through relationship. Relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift from God, but you have to receive the gift. The gift does me no good if I don't receive the gift. And so the way you do that is praying a simple prayer. The book of Romans says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. So are you here today and you need to pray that prayer? In just a second, I'm just going to get you to stand where you're at. And we have people that will help you. But also, maybe you've just been away from God. Man, you kind of wandered in today. hey, I'm going to check out church. I haven't been there. Maybe you just need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do that. In 1988, I was using drugs every day. I was so far away from God any human being could get. And I stood in a church like this, and I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. I came back to the cross, and every chain was broken off my life. Maybe today you need to recommit your life. Right now, can we all just pray this together? Just pray it loud, man. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask you now to come into my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit and show me my purpose in the earth. And I receive your gift of eternal life in Jesus' name.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.